Friday 06, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, we're glad to have you here. Our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 12 years. And Mobile, Baldwin County, that's his route. Could be your house, could be a storage. A storage unit thing is one of those deals that maybe you've had a little extra time to think about things in life, maybe budgeting here. We'll get into what they're doing or not doing in Washington when it comes to the unemployment money and the stimulus checks. But maybe you're thinking about saving a few bucks. Get that storage unit full of a bunch of stuff you don't need. Get Trey and the crew to come out and clean it out. It's just that easy, too. They'll meet you at the storage unit. You open the big roller door there. They check it out. They quote you a price. And if you say yes, they get to work and get it going right then. Then you save that money every month. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make that appointment time. It's one that you'll both agree on. I like this. Specific day, specific time. Not some kind of, we'll be there sometime this week. No, they're going to be there on a certain day, certain time. They meet you. They quote you a price, they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out today. All right. And speaking of what's happening with the economy, so on ABC's This Week, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin was on there. And other than talking about TikTok, which we might get into this TikTok thing again in just a second, he also talked about the idea of extending the $600 in unemployment benefits for the duration of the pandemic.
Unemployment is supposed to be wage replacement, so it should be tied to some percentage of wages. The fact that we had a flat number was only an issue of an emergency where we had 30-year-old computer systems. So I think on the concept, we absolutely agree on enhanced unemployment. We want to fix the issue where in some cases people are overpaid, and we want to make sure there's the right incentives.
All right. They did, in the Republican deal, I think, talk about extending the $600 for, I think, 3 or 4 months, but that wasn't enough for the Democrats. Wanted it extended through the end of the coronavirus pandemic, which I'm not trying to be, you know, reactionary here, but when do we get to the end of this? I mean, people remember back early on, they said, oh, it's going to be a tough couple months. Here we are in the fall.
Yeah, it's been, what, 8 months now? seems like. I guess it's been 8 months since China. At least 8 months since China.
But since, I would say, for it affecting the economy directly, now that it's late February, let's say March.
March is when it became real.
Yeah, March, April, May, June, July, seven months.
And then you hear reports from the CDC or the WHO, who I know we've talked about time and time again, with some of the different stories they've put out there, and you know they've backtracked a lot of times, but it seems like a lot of health professionals, they range. Some say that this will last through the end of 2022. Some say they could see us coming out of it here by the end of the year. But to put $600 into the pocket of the unemployed every week for an undetermined amount of time, that makes it so difficult for these employers that are in situations like we have here in Alabama, where that unemployment money ends up paying out more than going to work would pay out.
Yeah.
And it makes it very, very difficult to get employees back in the
stores. Well, you get the state unemployment, and then you add that $600 to it.
Yeah.
And so what do you do going forward here? Because if you just cut it off for a person that there's not a job available for, that's not right. People who lost a job through no fault of their own, right? So you gotta look at that. But if you have a situation where the businesses have said, come on back to work. Now, this is where I think it gets more nuanced, and I know there's no room for nuance in today's political discussion, but I'll throw it in there anyway. So let's just take the people whose job is not there through no fault of their own, and they're not calling people back. Okay, that's one group. So, but let's say the other group is group of people that are being called back to work, right? They're open, and these people are, and the company is going to file, and the way Alabama works is going to file and say the job's there, and their benefits on a state level will run out, right? I don't know about the federal level part of it. And then you can bring up the secondary question here, the same way the Secretary of State John Merrill opened up what would be acceptable for somebody to be an absentee voter. Okay, not mail-in vote, you know, absentee voting. The way he said health conditions, air quotes there, health conditions could mean being scared of getting coronavirus, instead of, you know, it used to be a health condition, you had to have something active
right
on. So what about the employees who say, okay, well, I have underlying conditions, and so therefore I don't want to go back into the workplace. Now, that's where it gets a little tougher. What do you do with those folks? Now, there's some people that'll like everything, they'll try to game the system and try to pretend that they have worries at going back to work. There may be other people that truly have legitimate worries. How do you parse that out?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I do think that third group needs to be recognized there. The people that their employees have offered the availability for them to come back to work, but maybe they've had heart conditions or mm-hmm. diabetes or something that we've seen, according to the statistics, that they have, if they do catch this virus, much more to worry about than your standard young American that might catch this thing. And then those that also, maybe they don't have any underlying health conditions, but they're caring for a child mm-hmm. who does, or they're
a
in
parent.
Charge of taking care of their parents who are maybe elderly.
So I'm saying, how do you that's what government and big government is so bad at doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to look at, so they're, I think the default is going to be here to continue to pay people not to work in some cases.
Right. And I don't know how all this works, but would it be possible to, and we've seen the Trump administration just get pilloried over their handling and saying that they want states to take more responsibility for what's going on. Would it be a possibility to allow those states to be the arbiter of who gets extra unemployment, rather than it coming straight mm-hmm. from the federal government? And that doesn't mean that everything would be fixed. Of course, we know that the State Department sometimes get things done just as slowly or as haphazardly as the federal government departments. But maybe that would make it a little bit easier for you to, file an appeal or something with the state for not getting unemployment, and you'd be able to kind of parse that out a little more judiciously, rather than just having the federal government say $600 for mm-hmm. you and $600 for you. Maybe that would be an option. But right now, Democrats and Republicans, the only thing they're getting along on is what you said earlier, the banning the TikTok app. They all,
yes,
it seems most are behind
that.
That's
the one thing they can agree on.
But they couldn't agree on anything, and then left this weekend without mm-hmm. without talking further about this new stimulus bill.
And that also, in that, has PPP, has the unemployment, also has the $1,200 checks.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means to Americans right now, $1,200 per individual, $500 for each child, all that, the formula.
Yeah, and I think the most recent talks, the president, when he was in Texas last week, talking about those stimulus checks, the payments to everyone under a certain amount of annual salary, he was saying maybe more money would be involved. I think it was Mnuchin over the weekend or late last week who said they might be looking at, instead of $1,200 per person and $500 per child,
mm-hmm.
maybe doing $1,000 per person and per child. So that would adjust the incoming stimulus payments for a lot of Americans. In my case, we have a child, but she did not count on our latest tax returns. Now, we filed taxes here recently
right.
for this year, but the ones that first stimulus payment came on, we just got the two adults stimulus. So if they do end up doing this new one, then my wife and I would receive $2,000 rather than the $2,400 we received initially.
So y'all would lose out on that.
Yeah, we would lose out $400 on that. And
although
I'm sure we're not alone.
Yeah, we finally, those kids will be paying off for me, my older kids. Good. And we'll ask on the text line, and how do you pay for it when you're wrecking the economy at the same time? You just print more money, Will.
Yeah.
Even though there's the talk about they can't keep up with the demands on change, coins out there, they can print those dollar bills fast. All right, 820 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Hey, coming up in the second half of the hour, too, our buddy Jeff Ford will be stepping in. Not that he just already has a three-hour show on his hands to do that debuts, the Jeff Poor Show debuting, and just less than an hour here, 40 minutes away from the Jeff Poor Show debut on FM Talk 106.5. We're so glad. I mean, he's been a guest and a guest host and part of this radio station for a decade now, and now officially with his show, 9 to Noon, which, by the way, just a second here. You can compare and contrast this elsewhere, and I'll tell you, you'll be pleasantly surprised what we're doing here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. We're doing live local radio, a block from 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. all people from the studio, then Paul Feinbaum Show. And then in the evenings, we have all our local shows. And then on Saturday, our local shows. And on Sunday, our local live shows.
Yeah.
I mean, there's somebody in the studio 7 days a week. It just doesn't happen in radio anymore. And super proud of the group we have here. And just a new addition and expansion today with Jeff Poore. I'm fired up.
Yeah. What were the, you tabulated the numbers for us. I think we're up to right around 58 hours a week of live local programming. Mm-hmm. Can't beat that.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. I'm happy. So, yeah, Jeff debuts here in about 40 minutes with the Jeff Poore Show. All right, grab some calls and some text to the phones first. Marcus is driving to Jackson, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi. Where are you going?
Jackson, Alabama. Actually, I'm going to Jackson Academy.
There you go.
To shoot some football practice. They start with helmets and pads this week. Matter of fact, I'll just... they had some 707s last week, but that wasn't what I called to talk about. Matter of fact, they played Clark Prep, and they played Monroe Academy and South Choctaw.
It's a special kind of hot. Those of us that played here now, remember when August would show up and all of a sudden we'd be able to have practice. And I remember it'd be 100 degrees at 9 in the morning, and you could smell the cut grass. Oh, I still remember that decades later.
But what I called about was, you were talking about unemployment a while ago. I know a situation... because I worked with the guy. He wasn't working but 3 days a week. And he wasn't making but a little over $300 for those 3 days. Okay, he got cut back to 2 days a week when the pandemic started. So that put him below $275 a week. He went and filed for his unemployment. He got his unemployment. He was drawing a check for $275, which is the minimum of the unemployment. Plus, he was getting $600. Plus, he was still getting paid at $2 a week. He was making over $1,000 a week. And before that, he was only making $300. So he was working 2 days, making over $1,000. And
sign me up.
He wasn't even making $1,000 before he got cut back to 2 days.
I wonder when they've, at the state level, when they've, I mean, I guess the state level is doing, like you said, the minimum, and so they're, but that $600 on top of that. Here's the problem too, and I don't want to hurt us here in Alabama, but if when they came out with the $600 is going to buy you a lot more here in Alabama than it would in San Francisco or New York or something like that.
Exactly.
What do you do though? The flip side of this, and I'm with you, but I always want to check myself and go, okay. Are there people, number one, I want to take the people who their work is not back, who lost the job through no fault of their own, that they're not back online wherever they work, right? So they're not calling them back in because they didn't do anything wrong to lose their job. So they need some protection. Mm-hmm. And then what do we do with folks that say, you know, they've got an underlying health condition, they're worried about that, or they're, like Dalton said, they're caring for older folks in their house? That, what do we tell those folks?
Well, let me put you a little bit before the pandemic. Okay, because this has happened to me before. Okay, I had to have surgery, and so I was out for 2 weeks from work because of surgery. Okay, after the 2 weeks, the doctor released me, sent it light duty. Well, my employer said, well, if you can't come back full duty, we don't want you back. You're going to have to come back full duty or nothing. So, see, before this pandemic, employers, if you couldn't work, you was out of a job.
Right.
And now they're making an exception for this pandemic, and I think that's wrong. I think if you can't come back to work, then you ought not get unemployment. I mean, that's kind of hard to say, but they were doing this to people before the pandemic for other things. And because I worked as a mechanic at the time, and I had surgery on my hand. Well, I worked on my hands, and even though the doctor released me, I still have an incision on my hand. If I go back working on cars and I get that infected, I could lose my hand. You know, so
it is. You have a pre-existing condition now that limits your work.
Well, I mean, even before this. All that's come about, employers didn't care if you had a pre-existing. You either could work or you couldn't.
Right.
End of story.
Right. No, and there's something to be said for that. I mean, you know, if your problem is, too, though, you have people with getting PPP with these businesses. If they have taken money to keep people on the payrolls, then they're supposed to, you know, if they've gotten the money from the last act, the CARES Act. But, yeah, other than that, I don't know. So going forward, if you have a condition or you have some situation in your home that keeps you from wanting to go back into the workplace, it might just be time to find something else to do.
Well, that's kind of, say you don't want to go back to work, or you don't want to catch the virus and give it to your grandmother or your grandfather that live with you or something. Well, I mean, when is that going to change? I mean, if they claim that this pandemic is going to last for years, mm-hmm. you going to draw unemployment for the next 2 or 3 years?
No, how do we afford that? I mean, we're already so far in debt. You know, how do we afford, how do we keep the economy going? These are hard questions. I don't think have simple answers to them. You know, and what about the folks that if a company went offline, Marcus, because of they can't work, and they're not calling you back to work. How long do you pay unemployment? You know, because I feel for those people. When you lose your job because something you did, I don't really worry about you. You got to go work. But if you lost your job through no fault of your own, how long do we keep unemployment insurance there for you until you go out and have to find another job?
And also, how do they know that these people that claim they can't come back to work aren't fraudulently?
Oh, there's always going to be that. No matter what we do, there's always going to be people try to scam the system. Oh. That's for sure. Well, enjoy your ride up 43. I appreciate the call, Marcus. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and then finding a new gig in this economy now, it's more difficult than it's been in a long, long time to just go out and find a new job. Certainly not as easy as it was at the end of 2019 to do that. A couple good texts here, and Catherine makes a great point, because I've heard this from other people too. She said, my husband and I were both laid off due to the pandemic and are just going back this week. It's been since March. She said, while that extra $600 is helpful, it's still not so much that we would refuse work. Cobra insurance for our family is $2,000 a month since March. And that's what I've heard from other people who have been unemployed and buying that Cobra insurance, that it's just ridiculously pricey. And I do think there are a number of people who are using this. They could be back at work and working, but there are a lot of people that are collecting this money and saying, hey, I'd rather just stay home and make this money than go out and work. But there are a lot of people, probably a majority of the people are more like Catherine, where they've been unemployed and they're collecting this money and it helps, but they're not going out and buying big screen TVs with it and stuff like that.
Also, looking at another side here, I just was looking around trying to find something more about, and I picked JanSport because this is the first one that came to mind, but I know this seems pretty narrow, but what about with back to school happening in different ways, mm-hmm. right? Delayed, families are already tight on budget. You look at backpacks. You know, one of the things we thought, because the kids were already talking, because my kids go back on the 12th, and the last night was the daughter came in, I have to get this calculator before, you know, midnight because there's only one left on. I'm like, honey, believe me, they'll make more. But the question here for like backpacks and, you know, uniform providers and back to school stuff, what does it mean for the people that work for those companies? This time of year, you think they'd be wide open. You know, I mean, this is the time they're working.
Yeah,
they're doing, and I know there's so many other companies. It's just, I guess that discussion last night with my daughter got me thinking about back to school providers and what that means for them. I mean, are you in that business in Mobile and Baldwin counties that provide that? Have you seen a falling off? Because you could say, okay, there'll be a shift, and there's that story from last week we can revisit too about vouchers for internet for folks in the state that are, you know, have to do online learning, but. Mm-hmm. There are going to be laptop purchases and electronics that maybe wouldn't have been there before, but how does that offset the backpacks and the tennis shoes and the
trapper keepers?
Yeah, the trapper keepers. I'm impressed you know trapper keeper.
Thank you.
You know, the things that the kids need to go back to school, plus the uniform providers, you know, will they need as many? How does this work out in the market?
Yeah, well, this is what the schools need to do, even though it's virtual. You're going to be looking at the kids. You got to make them wear the school uniforms at school, right?
Yeah.
So that you can help out with the school uniform prices there, so they have to keep going out and buying them. But I don't know. You know, it is a major shift, and I don't think that I think that the pandemic has kind of kick-started something that will carry on in schooling. Now, I don't think that all elementary schools and high schools will go to virtual only, but now that that's out there, I think there will be a lot more options for high schools and elementary schools to use that virtual learning. Whether the flu gets really bad again in one of these upcoming years and they start having to shut things down for the normal flu, but in colleges, I think they're going to go.
You lose so much if you don't go be around other human beings.
You lose a lot. You lose a lot. But colleges were already going virtual. I think this speeds that process up even more quickly.
Everybody will be at DeVry. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Doug says on the text line, I am 67. I work 3 days a week at Walmart. I have an artificial knee. I have atrial fibrillation. Shame on the dishonesty out there.
Mm.
Yeah. Well said, Doug.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
Doing great. And the beginning of a new month at McConnell Automotive. Tell us, what's going on in the lot today?
We got a lot of used cars. Boy, well, they had a heck of a weekend. We traded in about 10 cars. Got a, looks like a Z06 Corvette even. We're gonna get that certified and get them all out front, get them cleaned up, beautiful. I think the rebates and stuff, from what I understand, go through today. So you still got that employee pricing on SUVs. Don't forget about the $6,000 on pickup trucks. Check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
Yeah, better act fast because we don't know how long those deals are going to last. But something you can do now, tomorrow, any day, is sell your vehicle to McConnell Automotive. What do people need to do that?
That's right. Call Gene or I. We'll give you the price right on the telephone. Just give it the VIN and the mile.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5, and let's welcome to his new home here, Jeff Poore, in studio. Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're going to have you 5 days a week.
I know.
Yeah. I know.
I apologize.
So Jeff Poore Show debuting here at FM Talk 106.5 at 9:05, 9:06 this morning. So be ready for that. You heard the discussion we had a second ago. We're talking about unemployment numbers here. And we just had a news update from Westwood One that said, now, I just heard the stat, got to research the numbers, but there were five times the number of unemployed people as there were jobs available in the U.S. That's, you know, where, and then the question is, how long do you continue with the $600 federal, you know, adjustment here for unemployment? And by the way, I appreciate it. People on the text line, we've talked about this before. People saying, well, why wouldn't you, why don't we tie the extra federal unemployment supplement to the cost of living in each state? If Alabama's 30% below the average cost of living in the U.S., then Alabamians are eligible for 30% of $600, but nobody can receive more than $600. Every time I've asked this of elected officials, they tell me there's just it's too nuanced. There's not enough time. They can't get this thing done. And I hate to do it because as a homer here, I want, you know, if this is going to happen, I want our people to get it. But there's a fair argument, too, that when the Fed stepped in and said, here's your unemployment money, $600 goes a lot farther in Alabama than it does in California or New York.
Right, fair enough. And but you would never make it through Congress that way.
There's no political will to vote on something like that.
Richard Shelby turning down money for a state. Why don't you prorate that $600?
Never going to happen.
Okay, yeah. It's not going to happen. That's the problem. It's... And then it'd be, you know, could be a campaign commercial or something someday.
Right. Yeah. So that it's just, even though I agree with the sentiment of what you're talking about here, it's just politically, it's not going to happen.
And this has been, you know, employment wise. Well, there's been a lot that could be registered as a catastrophe due to this pandemic. But that stat that you just mentioned from Westwood One, what, five people per opening?
Yeah,
of jobs.
Yeah, that's a better way to look at it. Yeah.
So a story from August of last year, August 6, 2019, the headline, 1.4 million more jobs than unemployed people. And fast forward to August 2020.
Man, what a flip.
And these are the stats we're talking about. And it's such a tightrope for these decision makers with the unemployment checks, because I think, you know, the economy's been doing well, and I don't know what all goes into that, but the stock market keeps climbing.
Stock market is doing well because the Fed here has lowered interest rates and continues to push interest rates mm-hmm. so low that the only place to get return on your money is in equities. They have, in doing what they've done for, you know, you could say doing it to keep the economy going, but it also either implicitly or just by default pushes money into equities. And so there might be money in stocks that wouldn't be there mm-hmm. right now if you had higher interest rates out there somewhere else. I mean, you're not going to put your money in a bond. You're not going to, you know, those things are not going to be places, havens for money right now. The stock market's going to be the only place.
And I would guess if you were one of the people that got that stimulus check, you know, employed or unemployed, got that first stimulus check, a majority of the people then, I would imagine, did not put that back for savings, unless they, there were a lot of people like me who said, wow, something like this can happen and can wipe you out. So some people who were able to continue to work throughout the pandemic may have been more likely to hold on to that. But listening to reports this morning, you know, they're saying, well, those first stimulus checks, now people are not spending nearly as much as they were over the last few months. Maybe they finally ran out of that money, which I find it hard to believe you can make that $1,200 last for that long. But when they make this decision whether to extend unemployment or put these new stimulus payments in the hands of Americans, they've got to be thinking, okay, if we gave incentives to employers to bring people back to work, that might work out better in the long run. You might have more people show up to work and start making more money. But in this short-term time, and especially going into the elections in November, when you need people out spending money now and helping to gig the economy and keep it rolling, I think they would say that by giving people money, they're more likely to just turn right around and spend that and help the economy rather than put businesses back in business and say, hey, payroll tax cuts, all these different things they could help to do boost the business. I think that would be more of a long-term thing than the short-term plan of just handing out more money.
Well, here's what happens. Election coming around the corner. If there's gridlock after November 3rd, I don't think you see any more of this. I think somebody's, mm-hmm. whoever's not in charge is going to want to see that party in power. They're going to want to see them feel some pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have any of these agreements in the House and the Senate, because I think we still had a divided government. I think, you know, however it turns out, Republicans will hold on to something or Democrats will hold on
mm-hmm.
to something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just
what you're
be
meaning is White on. House, Senate. Republicans are going to be in charge of what? We're not going to have three on the tree here. I mean, there's not going to be, the Democrats aren't going to win the House, the Senate, and the White House.
And
Republicans aren't going to hold on
right.
to the White House, the Senate, and then get the House.
And it won't be filibuster-proof either.
Right.
They may do away with the filibuster. Democrats get the Senate, maybe. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a possibility, but that will take time, and it'll be some consternation, and, you know, that'll play out. But I think if it's divided government, it's not going to be as easy, because people right now, if you look at kind of how this is unfolding, with November 3rd, nobody wants to get the blame for not
right,
taking care
right.
of people. So you just throw everything at it. Then I think after November 3rd, you're talking about a totally different situation.
No, I agree. That's when it will. That's when the real work will come. But right now, I mean, yeah, nobody wants to be. You know, I mean, even President Trump talked about the stimulus checks might be more than $1,200.
Yeah.
You know, and we're, you know, how much more money could give out, because you don't want to be saddled with taking money away from people. But what do you say here? I mean, when you look at unemployment, and we just talked to Marcus about it, the different versions. All right, so you've got people who, through no fault of their own, lost their job, right, and they their business, whatever their thing is not back in. They're not working. You got people out there. The jobs have come back online, but they don't want to go to work because of, you know, the underlying condition. They take care of an older person. They're scared of coronavirus. That's the one that I think is the third rail here, because if you try to tell those people go back to work, then we can picture the nightly news, you know, starting off with, Sean Sullivan reporting for Big Network here, and we're at the Smith's house, and, you know, Mrs. Smith cares for Mr. Smith, who has an underlying condition, and she can't go back to work at her job doing such and such and such and such. But if Republican governors and
right.
And the legislature has its way, she will be forced to make a choice between caring for her husband or not having any money, you know, something like that.
But it's always going to be that way, right? Even if you know, there's always going to be those stories. And I kind of wonder, are people desensitized to all of this yet? I mean, we've had a rough 2020.
Mm-hmm.
2021, mm-hmm. You start throwing these heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching stories out there. Is it going to have the same impact? Are people just going to say, you know, it's probably time to get back to work? I mean, where is the mood of the public going to be after a year or more of this?
Well, speaking of that, and with the Democrats and Republicans unable to come together on this, I mean, they left for the weekend, and now the House on an August break, so they didn't get this done on Friday. Who is winning that messaging battle, the other side is bad messaging battle? Who do you think is winning that right now, the Democrats or Republicans, or is it a wash? Is everybody just tired of it all?
I think it's a wash. You listen to both sides. It is clear to me the Democrats, they're asking for the farm. They're asking for everything. It makes you wonder how serious this is in this election season. I mean, like, what are the real prospects of something getting done? Because we never in our recent history, August 3rd before a presidential election, never passed anything big. Even TARP, I think, happened in earlier in the year in that 2008 cycle. So, you know, at this late stage of the game, the later we get and further into the summer, it makes me wonder how serious are these negotiations.
All right, grab your calls as well when we come back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, one of the questions out there is the state of Alabama now, mask order extended through August 31st. You and I just saw some graphs come up for new cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is one of these things that it's you could play this game with the economy too, but we talked about the shutdown. You know, people will say if the cases came down at the end of the shutdown, people can say, look, the shutdown worked.
Mm-hmm.
Or then I could play devil's advocate and say, well, the cases would have come down anyway. We did that. So the mask thing now, I know that people are looking for some kind of results. That the mask mandate has, look, it was this, and then you had a mask mandate, and now it's this.
Mm-hmm.
But you can turn around and also say, well, that would have happened anyway, even without the mask.
Right.
So how far do we carry that forward? How far does the governor carry that forward? How do governors carry it forward? Saying, well, listen, you can see, because you know they want to see some, and we all want to see some numbers come down.
Of course.
Them go to zero. They want to see those numbers come down, though, and match it and make a correlation, whether mm-hmm. it's spurious or not, with the mask versus the cases coming down.
Yeah, and the difficulty there is pegging exactly the numbers you see on Sunday, August 2nd. When were those numbers in actuality? When did those mm-hmm. new cases come in?
And right, it's always a lagging indicator with these numbers.
It is, and that's exactly with Mobile County's numbers. I mean, absolutely going through the roof over the weekend. I don't think that this weekend was a particularly, you know, just a deadly weekend for Alabama. These numbers, these new cases could have been reported, you know, weeks ago. It's so hard to say, okay, this is when the mask ordinance began to work, or this is when the mask ordinance went into place. And as you can see, the cases aren't going down. But I will say from a view above the forest and just looking at these charts for the last 90 days, you know, looking at a pretty big graph, nationally, Alabama, Florida, Texas, take your pick. It seems that most of us are at least on the curve down from that second big peak. Now, whether this is
yeah,
recent,
is there another peak coming?
Yeah, will Alabama start to climb again? Will we start to see numbers nationally go back up? But when you're looking at the charts right now, it seems that most places are on their way down from that second peak. I'm hoping that stays with us. But then again, lagging indicators, deaths. We could see higher numbers of deaths this week because cases were so high 10 days ago.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab your text and calls at 343-0106. And just about 12, 15 minutes away from the debut of the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5. You know, if the stat is correct that it's five jobs for every, I mean, five out of work employees for every job out there, that if that's a real stat, maybe it's time for some WPA, some CCC, and we have a, because, you know, President Trump has talked about the infrastructure work he would like to get done. why don't we just take those people and have them build the I-10 Mobile River Bridge? See?
I like the way your mind's working
here. Project.
It's not green enough. We need like a...
we can build it out of recyclables. I don't care.
A wind-fueled train to get from here to Spanish Fort or something.
Okay, cool. As long as they build the bridge at the same time, I could.
Sailboat or something.
Hey, if I could take the sailboat, I would. If it would get me there on time, that would
probably
be
not.
It'd be a good thing. If you have, will this? And you make a good point, Jeff. That we're not gonna see an honest reaction to any of this until after November 3rd.
No.
This is going to be all some. Not saying that you know they don't want to try to fix a problem, but it's going to be guided by its political impact on November 3rd. There's a bit of Kabuki theater. Then November 4th, they go into work, and we'll probably see what really happens. But what do you do if you have that many people out of work and the jobs aren't back online? You know, what do you get? If you're going to pay them, if you're going to pay somebody, I don't know how you do this. You know, if it goes back to more big government, WPA, CCC, but if you're going to pay people $600 a week federally on top of unemployment to not work, do you tie that to some kind of, I don't know, some kind of labor, some kind of something needs? I don't know if you have some kind of program out there that says, okay, well, you can't go back to your job. But here's the gig. We're going to put these jobs online.
But it's still that coronavirus threat of a bunch of people together. You know, should there be some kind of community service? What can you do here? What can you give us? What can you offer us?
I don't know.
Well, with all the police stations shutting down across the country over the next week, I saw Seattle, the latest to vote out their police jurisdiction there, and they said...
They deserve everything they get, by the way.
They want to go to more community policing, so maybe there's more law enforcement jobs out there for your standard American and some of these more, some of the cities in the Northwest and Northeast. But in all reality, this was such a big reality check for so many Americans, I think. Of course, you know, Trump going into 2016 was all about bringing jobs back to America, and there were a lot of people calling for that. But then when this hit, and everyone realized how many of our pharmaceuticals were coming from other countries, and yep. I mean, you name it, what we depend on China and, you know, countries halfway across the world for, that was a big reality check. And, you know, last week we were talking about Kodak, the former photo operating, you know, business that made all their money.
They didn't see the digital thing coming.
Did not.
The president referenced that as well. They missed that one.
But they're back in the game now as a pharmaceutical company. Will that supply more jobs for Americans? And you were talking about, you know, getting people back out there, maybe some kind of new infrastructure push or something like that. Will there be more jobs once this wraps up? Will we actually bring more jobs back to America so that we can rely on ourselves more?
Right, because if we're going to just continue to print money and go further into debt, should you try to tackle the, I mean, it's so contrary to me keeping, in my world, I would keep government out of it, but I can't do that. Government is now in it, so I have to deal with the hand I'm dealt. With the hand I'm dealt, is there a better way to apply, you know, the money out there?
And there always is a better way to apply it.
All right, Jeff, you've got just a few minutes here before you start the Jeff Poore Show.
Very exciting, right?
Yes. Talk to folks about today's show.
Just kind of give you we'll save the intros for who's Jeff Poore? Why is this guy on my airways first for the next hour? But it's a little more political focused, obviously. Trying to build a show that makes news. If you're an elected official or some kind of civic leader and you've got something big announcement or you're working on something, this is the place you want to come. This is where you want to be on. You're running for office. This is where you want to. This is where people will hear you. This is where people go to listen. And it generally is not just a. It's the state as a whole kind of focus, but it's also the hope is to really get Mobile, Baldwin County into game, you know, and really showcase what's going on down here, where I think it could be done, you know, more.
All right. Well, we'll get a taste of that coming up in just minutes. Y'all stay right there.